You're listening to the podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness from LVSportsNetwork.com, brought to you by PortaSubs.
I'll give you two quarterbacks. Number one, Alabama's Jalen Milroe. Milroe has a side hustle. He sells clothing. It says, "Wank, let a naysayer know." He has a lot of naysayers, but if he has a good week in Mobile, he solidifies his draft position, maybe even in the first round. The other quarterback is Jackson Dart from Ole Miss. How does Lane Kiffin's offense translate to the NFL? A lot of questions answered this week, potentially, for Jackson Dart.
This is Unnecessary Roughness on Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM. Here's your boy Q.
As we kick off hour number three of the show, we come into the sounds of Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network having no juice whatsoever when he's talking about Jalen Milroe and his clothing line, "Lank, let a naysayer know." If you're going to say "let a naysayer know," you got to say it with your chest. You got to have a little bit of flavor about yourself. You got to have some juice behind it. Jackson Dart, he's got some juice out there in Mobile, Alabama, as he's one of the quarterbacks that's out there participating, just like Jalen Milroe is as well. Join us now on the phone lines to talk a little bit about the activities and action going on in Mobile is our guy Sam Brookhouse from SoomerSports.com. And Sam, thanks so much for your time. And since we hear about the quarterbacks, let's talk about the quarterbacks. I'm a guy who loves Alabama football. I thought that Jalen Milroe should have returned to school one more year. He chose not to. How big is this week for him in Mobile to try to improve his draft stock?
This week is huge. I mean, I think he sits currently as quarterback 4, according to the consensus. I think he could get up really high, especially given we're probably not going to see Shador Sanders or Cam Ward throw or really do any activities until the draft. I think he could massively increase his draft stock. But just reporting from what I saw with my own eyes, I didn't really love what he did, and I didn't really love what Dart did. The quarterback play has been a little shaky out here at the Senior Bowl first 2 days.
So what did you see from Jalen Milroe that wasn't to your liking?
You know, there's a lot of balls all over the place. I was really excited to get a view on some of the wide receivers. I think Jalen Royals is a very interesting one out of Utah State that I was excited. The completions have been few and far between from what I've seen at the Senior Bowl, particularly from that group that includes big names like Jackson Dart, Jalen Milroe, Riley Leonard. It's been tough sledding for them. Then again, they have several other days of practice. They also have the game coming up. Maybe they can stitch it together. I think it's just the passing game just has not been on the same page the first 2 days, and frankly, just some inaccuracies has plagued the quarterbacks in this class.
What about Jackson Dart from Ole Miss? He's a guy that a lot of Raider Nation is talking about. Maybe get him in the second round, whatever the case may be, a little bit later on the draft, because it's not a deep draft class when it comes to the quarterbacks. Do you see a case where he could develop into a franchise guy? What is your overall thoughts on Jackson Dart in general?
I think what people like about him is simply that he was one of the most productive quarterbacks this year of any of the class. A lot of this class just simply was not productive. We saw Riley Leonard not be able to throw the ball a ton. I think he was very good in the running game. Jalen Milroe, very similar, a down year from him in the passing game. We didn't really see that from Jackson Dart. We saw him have one of his best passing seasons. I think what he has to prove is that he can operate in a Lane Kiffin-less society, that he can run a true professional offense and get the ball consistently to top-tier playmakers.
Yeah, that's a big deal for sure. Sam Brookhouse, SoomerSports.com, with us here on Raider Nation Radio 920. What about Dylan Gabriel? I know he's only came in at, 5'10". He's got a lot of experience under his belt, but what are you seeing for the young man out of Oregon?
Here's what I'll say. If I had a 7-on-7 team, I would want Dylan Gabriel to be the quarterback. He was able to find completions and make it look easy in 7-on-7. What's a little bit more alarming, though, is in the team periods, particularly when he had to get under center, there was a lot of fumbles. The first day, the fumbles under center really threw off of an entire drill, an entire period. We saw another one of those fumbles today. When Lindsey Rhodes asked him about it out there on the field, he said, "No issues, just trying to get on the same page. I'm pretty comfortable with it. We just got to work on it a little bit more." But we got to see that he's not just a 7-on-7 quarterback or tying it back, a UCF-style air raid quarterback. He got to show that he's a professional guy who can run a pro-style offense. Don't hear that a ton anymore with regards to the way the offenses work in the NFL, but I think he's a guy who truly has proved that given his size.
Sam, you've been covering the league for a long time. You break down film. You're doing all the draft work. You've been doing a fantastic job with that. As far as the week there in Mobile and how it goes along, saying all those guys just got together at the beginning of this week, do you consistently see improvement from these players, or is it kind of mixed bag when it comes to how well they perform in Mobile?
I think you want to see the guys who are able to stack days of progression. A guy that was able to is Kez Johnson, who has questions about his size. He's a wide receiver, clocks in at about 5'9", 155, really not very large. Was he able to consistently create separation on day two when the cornerbacks were a little bit more comfortable being physical? Yes, he was. I love seeing that progression from him. But then sometimes other guys are tasked with new challenges. Ariante Arisuri was an excellent left tackle out there at Minnesota. He played excellently day one at left tackle. They moved him over to right tackle, not his natural position, a little different footwork. He wasn't able to put it together in the same way that he was yesterday, but it still looked pretty good. I want to see if he can develop at a couple different positions, especially given how important swing offensive linemen are in the NFL now.
Sam Brookhouse, SoomerSports.com, with us live from the Senior Bowl there in Mobile, Alabama. What about Will Howard coming from the national champion Ohio State, the Ohio State University? What have you seen from him?
It's very interesting. Will Howard's not out here. It's kind of a controversial post in the Senior Bowl. He's not going to practice this week, though he is technically a member of the invitees and acceptees. He's not practicing right now. Mm. However, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens to his stock. You know, I got to give it up to him. The man played literally the longest season in the history of college football. Yeah. But then, of course, Riley Leonard did that as well, and he's practicing as well. So wasn't able to glean a ton from him in the last couple of days. But I think he put everything out there, particularly in the last game, and his ability to hit Jeremiah Smith and to hit all those great wide receivers at Ohio State.
What did you think about Walter Nolan, the Ole Miss defensive tackle? He's a guy that I've been seeing a lot of reports that's really been doing a good job out there so far.
He has a kind of freaky ability to contort his body from the three-tech and one-tech positions when I've seen him do pass rush drills, and it really throws those interior offensive linemen off. He's able to use one and two hands in tandem to force offensive linemen to make weird decisions with their hands. They're not able to get hands on him, and he's able to make great pass rush penetration. The crazy thing about Walter Nolan is he may not be the best defensive tackle I've seen in terms of performance in these bowl games. J.J. Pegues was out there at the Shrine Bowl. He performed excellently. Great hip explosion, great hands. And then the two edge rushers, Princely Yu and Ivy, have also done very well. All four of those Ole Miss guys project, at least from their performances at these games, to be very good NFL prospects.
Is there anyone else that you're seeing that's on the defensive side of things, corner, edge rusher, whatever you're seeing that's really standing out that could be really making a big name for themselves so far in Mobile?
Yeah, yesterday the main standout for me was Josiah Stewart from Michigan. When I was talking about Walter Nolan creating those weird angles, he does that off the edge extremely well. He also has, you know, a little weird body type for an edge, more around that 6 foot range. Can get really low and force really big tackles to try to have to block him. He was excellent yesterday. He grades out excellently in our AI metrics as well, given his performance in Michigan. A cornerback that I love today, Quincy Riley, showed the ability to stay in phase with the wide receivers, turn around to disrupt passes. He got to work on his catching a little bit. You know, he's a DB, not a wide receiver. Got hit in the hands with a misthrown ball, dropped it. But the reason why he was in good position was because he maintained good tailpipe technique behind a wide receiver, was able to take advantage of a badly thrown ball. Pass breakup could have been a pick, something to work on, but he caught my eye today.
Sam Brookhouse, SoomerSports.com, with us here, Raider Nation Radio 920, Unnecessary Roughness, talking all things Senior Bowl and draft in general. And I know these guys aren't out there participating, but you mentioned Shador, you mentioned Cam Ward. For your eyes, what is the difference between those two guys? Like, how big a separation is it between those two quarterbacks?
It's a great question. I think Shador sacks a lot. And we saw, particularly in last year's draft, guys like Bo Nix and guys like Michael Penix Jr., who, you know, really avoided negative plays at all costs, to be able to be pretty effective when they were slotted in. I think that's what teams are worried about with Shador. with Cam Ward, he's just a gunslinger, man. And I think there's a little bit more worry about him throwing interceptions and how he would adapt to an NFL offense than someone like Shea Dorr per se. I think that's kind of what people are looking at. But then again, you try to look at what these guys can do and teach or coach around what they can't do. And I think Shea Dorr is more of an old-school style passer, highly accurate. He's going to try to hit all three parts of the field. I think Cam Ward is more of a new-school passer. He's going to try to create plays and excel a little bit more outside of the offense. Both of them have similar traits, but I think the difference right now is Cam Ward's ability to create plays and finish games.
And, Sam, before we let you go, I've been talking a lot with Raider Nation about the running back position and saying if you need a running back, this is the draft to go get one. I know there's a handful in there in Mobile that are out there right now. Is any of the running backs, are they showing up and showing out yet?
Look, a little underrated name, but LeKent Allen from Syracuse was excellent both in the running game and the pass-catching game at Syracuse. And I'll tell you what, I watched a lot of Syracuse this year because they have a lot of players that are playing at the Senior Bowl and the Shrine Bowl, draft eligible. Guys like Kyle McCord looked great. When they won games, it was because Kyle McCord played great. But when it really came down to it, as in the game against UNLV out there in Vegas, it was LeKent Allen who was making the plays to push them over the top in a comeback year for the Syracuse Orangemen. He caught my eye today, a couple good plays, good catches, and good runs that I enjoyed watching.
I'm so glad you mentioned Syracuse, and I'm so glad you mentioned Kyle McCord. I had a guy that texted me as soon as the show started and said, make sure when Sam's on, you ask about Kyle McCord. Don't you forget. And I almost forgot, so he would have let me know about it. What are your overall thoughts on Kyle McCord, the Syracuse quarterback?
Now, look, last spring, I just thought Syracuse was going to be really interesting because of Fran Brown coming in and Kyle McCord being the quarterback. Kyle McCord analytically was very good at Ohio State, despite a lot of the qualms that fans had with him. And he just did everything for the Syracuse Orangemen this year. He led the nation in like half the stats just because he was throwing so much. He got a lot of practice. He's looked like a different type of passer than every quarterback I've seen in these games. I'd have him as the guy who has raised his stock the most out of every quarterback I've seen across the Shrine and the Senior Bowl. I wouldn't be shocked if a team ends up reaching a bit on him, because he seems to be a guy who has come through adversity to become a pro-style passer.
Nice. I like it. Really good stuff. I'm so glad you mentioned Syracuse, because I sure would have forgot to ask you about Kyle McCord. Sam Brookhouse right there, supersports.com. Great stuff, man. Great coverage. I know you're there in Mobile, Alabama. What are you working on that we should be on the lookout for?
Yeah, so we're putting out recaps every single day. You can check out me and Sean Syed of the Stassen Team Podcast, which you can check out. You can check out those at Sumersports.com. They'll be going live shortly with today's insights. You can also catch me, Sumer Sports Show with Lindsey Rhodes. That comes out on Tuesday. Draft FM Podcast, our flagship draft podcast, comes out on Monday.
Really good stuff, man. We'll see you next week. I know you guys will be in New Orleans as well for Super Bowl 59, and we'll definitely check you out there. Thanks so much for your time, brother.
Appreciate it. Exciting times.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Very exciting times. Sam Brookhouse right there, Sumersports.com, with us here on Raider Nation Radio 920, talking all things. Well, Senior Bowl is going on in Mobile, Alabama, as Vinny Bonsignore is on the site as well, and many others, and just kind of giving you a little bit more deep dive. Man, I'm so glad he mentioned Syracuse, and I didn't forget to ask him about Kyle McCord. Some really good stuff from Sam. We definitely appreciate him. Speaking of good news, good times, how about this from Josina Anderson? And I just tweeted out great news. Josina Anderson, about 10 minutes ago, breaking, I'm told the Raiders and Patrick Graham are working on a deal to bring him back as defensive coordinator. So that looks like it's going to be a done deal. We just had Vinny Bonsignore on not too long ago, right before 4 o'clock, and he said that Patrick Graham was not out of the mix. I know Robbie Leonard is the guy that they talked to at the beginning of the week. Hopefully he returns as the defensive line coach. I'm sure that he will. Well, I say I'm sure he will. I'll go ahead and wait on that just because, you know, we don't know and nothing signed, sealed, and delivered yet. But really good sign right there. I think that's a big-time plus, a big-time win for Pete Carroll and company if, in fact, they do bring Patrick Graham back and they're able to get that done, which it sounds like they're about to do. So really good news right there. Pass along again from Josina Anderson about 10 minutes ago on Twitter. So there you go. Really good stuff. You want to continue to get your feedback in at 702-365-9200. Don't forget, we'll talk to Paloma Villacana from Fox 5 Sports. Coming up at 4:30, we'll talk about UNLV as they're in Logan, Utah, taking on Utah State tonight, trying to end their two-game losing streak. Now, I do want to get some of the sounds from the Senior Bowl, as Vinny's been Johnny on the spot. He's been doing a hell of a job. Make sure he sent over some really good sound. And so let's get to the cornerback that he talked about. He only talked to him for about a minute. It wasn't very long, but he told me and alerted to me, Q, you got to pay attention to this guy. I know how you are when it comes to DBs. You always like to focus in on them and see which ones you believe are really good. He said, Azariah Thomas, the cornerback from Florida State, he's a guy that would fit the Pete Carroll bill. Vinny Bonsignore caught up with him. Just about a minute conversation. Here it is. Check it out.
You know, some people always got doubt in their mind. So, and I'm not really trying to prove anybody wrong. I'm just trying to prove myself right and continue to put my God-given talents on show.
If you Googled the Senior Bowl standouts so far, your name comes up pretty prominently. Does that fuel you? Does it make you any complacent at all, or make you want to, fuel you even more?
I try not to look at that. My mother sends me stuff, so it's like it's kind of impossible to get away from it. But nah, man, it don't fuel me, man. I feel like I've been having okay days, and sometimes I'm harder on myself than really what I need to be. But I still got so much left that I think I need to show, and I feel like that's gonna come day by day.
This week been what you expected it to be?
Yes, sir. Of course, the work, competition. Like, I'm gonna lose some reps, I'm gonna win some reps, but guess what? My head gonna be high each and every rep, and I'm gonna keep going regardless.
Azariah Thomas, the cornerback there from Florida State with Vinny Bonsignore. Like I said, just a quick minute, but one of the guys that has been standing out, and if you heard Vinny when he joined us about 30 minutes ago, 45 minutes ago, whatever the case may be, he started to touch on Azariah and said, man, this dude has really been showing up. And of course, when you got one-on-one drills going on, cornerbacks are going to lose, right? I always say it, those are set up for the offense to succeed anyway, and he's going to win some reps, he's going to lose some reps, but just with his length, his size, his speed, as I was looking at some of the film, I know Florida State did not have a very good season at all last year, but he was a guy that was a player. There's no doubt. So I really liked what I saw. And again, it was just a short amount of time. It's not like I went back and looked at every game that he played in throughout the course of the year, but was able to look at a handful of highlights and, you know, just kind of preparing for the interview with Vinny. And I realized that, yeah, this dude really looks like he could play. So we'd love to get your thoughts at 702-365-9200. We've got more sound from the Senior Bowl coming up in a little bit, but I do want to get back to the topic that we threw out there at the top of the show. If you had to give the John Spytek and Pete Carroll hire a grade, what would it be? And then outside of the quarterback position, what positions do you feel like the Raiders need to prioritize this offseason? 702-365-9200. T-Biz, 704 Raiders said, I'm sold. Get me Russ and Kyle McCord, third or fourth round. I'm good with that. That's T-Biz. So he's reacting to the Sam Brookhouse interview that we just had live from the Senior Bowl. Jose hit us up. Big Jose said, from Josina Anderson, Raiders and Patrick Graham are working on a deal. Big Dub Raiders said, Q, I'm today years old, finding out that just not seniors could play in the Senior Bowl. Go Raiders. And, yeah, that hasn't been very long. It's only been like a couple seasons, so don't feel bad. It's only been like a couple years that more than seniors participate in the Senior Bowl. What they did, it was all seniors at one point, but then they started having so many underclassmen that were entering the draft that they wanted to be able to showcase those guys as well, so they started opening it up to others that weren't just seniors. But don't worry, you're not too far behind, because believe me, it hasn't been that long. It used to, at one point, be exclusive to just seniors. Let's see, what else did we get? This one comes from Messy Jesse. He said, Q, sending prayers out to our fellow Raider fan and legendary rapper Too Short. Got reports that his brother was shot and killed in East Oakland. What a sad situation. I saw that as well. Apparently, that was a robbery attempt in East Oakland. And, Too Short, Todd Shaw, his brother, apparently got shot. And I didn't see that he got killed, but I did see the report that he got shot. So, definitely prayers up to Too Short and his family. And that's never a kind of conversation that you want to have, or never any kind of news that you wanted to get. Let's see, what else did we get on the text line at 702-365-9200? This goes from Brian said, Gary Payton won a ring. Raider Brian, yeah, he did. He won a charity ring in Miami. And I know that's going back to the conversation that we were having with Trey Wingo when I said that there's a lot of NBA Hall of Famers that don't have rings. And, yeah, Gary Payton, who I'm a huge fan of GP, he got one at the end of his career in Miami. Matter of fact, had a nice bucket to kind of seal the deal and help earn that one. But that was at the end of his career. Remember when he went to L.A., didn't even get one there. And really, when he went up against Mike, he was mic'd. So that was kind of the conversation that we were having. But, yeah, Gary Payton, a lot of people don't realize he did win a ring. Lauren said, we need to prioritize the offensive line. the best quarterback in the world isn't going to do any good if he has to run for his life like ours did last season. There's been a lot of the consensus is that there has to be an upgrade to the offensive line. Definitely got to go out there and continue to solidify that and make sure it could be the best that it could be. So thanks so much for that. I appreciate you. Rob in Oakland said the grades, Spytek B+. He has definitely paid his dues and seems to have been a rising star since his start in Detroit. I like the substance of his press conference, but he hasn't held the GM title with all the pressures that come with it. I admit I'm a little curious what they said to Telesco before letting him go, but we may have hired a good successor. Carroll, B+. The organization is stronger and smarter with his unbeatable resume, innovative football mind, and wealth of football knowledge. What have you done for me lately league, and his last few years in Seattle were not his best, but they are better than ours. Every day. I'm getting more comfortable with missing out on Ben Johnson. I agree 100% with Miguel's text. That's from Rob in Oakland. I'm trying to remember what Miguel's text was. I know it was a good one. I'm trying to remember because it was a little while ago. He said the Raiders' offseason strategy should undoubtedly prioritize enhancing their offensive line. In recent seasons, the Raiders have struggled to protect their quarterback consistently, which has stifled their offensive capabilities and hindered their progress in crucial games. Strengthening the offensive line will not only boost quarterback protection, but also improve the running game, providing the balance needed to keep defenses guessing. So really good stuff right there from Rob. Really good stuff from Miguel again. Keep that feedback coming at 702-365-9200. All right, let's go ahead and get one more sound from the Senior Bowl. Why don't we? And then we'll close out with some sound following Paloma's conversation that we have coming up in a few minutes. Let's go ahead and hear from Virginia Tech defensive tackle Aeneas Peebles. He's the guy that Vinny, as again, he was sending me a lot of messages, and I'm trying to see exactly what he said about Aeneas before we get to him. I want to give you the proper description of Aeneas. He said, Aeneas Peebles, stud defensive tackle. There you go. That was the description when he sent him over. So with that being said, here's that conversation. Vinny and Aeneas Peebles there in senior at the Senior Bowl.
It really just depends on who I'm going against in the day. You know, I'm pretty confident in my whole arsenal. You know, that's one of the things I really try to pride myself in is not being predictable, you know, throwing a different pitch every time I'm up the bat. So, you know, whether it's a spin inside, whether it's a spin outside, whether it's a spin from the 2-eye, whether it's a spin from the 3, whether a chop club, I mean, I can go on for days and days, but, you know, I kind of pride myself in being versatile.
Can you take me through the first two reps of full team? I mean, you shot the gap on the big stop, and then you blew up the second play with the pressure. Can you take me through those two steps?
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, it's just playing fast, you know, just playing my kind of football, you know, 1 to 100 every single snap, you know. That's kind of what I pride myself on, you know, going fast and shooting gaps and getting upfield and causing chaos. So that's what I did those last two plays.
Do you feel like penetrating, getting upfield, is that one of your strengths?
No doubt about it.
What makes you good at that? How did you get good at it?
You know, I mean, I was blessed with being 6'1", so at heart, you know, it was just kind of calling for mine. You know, if I'm going to make money doing this game, it's going to be that way. So
is there a pass rusher that you might pattern your game after and try to develop your toolbox?
Yeah, guys like Grady Jarrett, you know, and obviously it's shooting for the stars, but guys like Aaron Donald, I love to watch those kind of guys, you know.
Absolutely. Well, Aaron Donald came here and was like about 6 feet tall.
No doubt about it.
And set things on fire. So that had to be somebody you were looking at a little bit.
1,000%. You know, I feel like every kid growing up always looks towards Aaron Donald, Grady Jarrett, you know, the greats, you know, just try to compare yourself to somebody else of the similar stature, you know. I just so happen to be shaped like, you know, Grady Jarrett.
What are some of the things that Grady does that you want to emulate?
Yeah, the way he just bounces around blocks, shoots gaps, disrupts defense, I mean, disrupts offenses. That's just the things that I really want to incorporate in my game.
Can you tell us about your preparation and, like, what it goes into getting prepared for a game?
No doubt about it. You know, just trying to see who you're going up against. You know, I was watching film this week on all the offensive linemen that I was preparing to go up against this week. You know, I feel like I did a pretty good job of that going up to the weekend. You know, hopefully I continue to, you know, show the fruits of my labor.
Well, Mike Tomlin had something to say to you after that run stop. What's it like just performing here and having guys like that kind of looking over your shoulder?
You know, I mean, it's huge. You know, I mean, that's what I dreamt of as a kid, you know, getting coached by guys like Mike Tomlin. You know, that's literally like I had vivid memories as a middle schooler, you know, watching NFL games, just praying that one day, you know, I'm getting yelled at by Mike Tomlin, which sounds kind of crazy. But, you know, as a kid, that's what I dreamed to do.
Obviously, there's a lot going on the field, but there's a lot that goes off the field here as well. How have you embraced that part of it, knowing that the talking, the communicating with teams?
You know, just knowing that it's part of the job. You know, I knew what I signed up for when I started playing this game when I was in high school and middle school. I mean, I emulated the greats. You know, I watched how they do it, how they handle themselves in the media, how they communicate with others. So, you know, just knowing what I signed up for and, you know, just being true to myself, it makes it easy.
Virginia Tech defensive tackle Aeneas Peebles right there. Met with a lot of the media, including Vinny Bonsignore earlier today. Really good stuff from him. And, again, when Vinny sent that over, he said, stud defensive tackle. That was his description. Real quick, got a text that I wanted to get to from T-Biz. He said, I'm an FSU fan. Kid is a dog. Kept fighting through all the adversity that we faced. Younger brother of Cowboy defensive back. And he's talking about Azariah Thomas, the cornerback from Florida State, who Vinny's described as a guy that he thought would fit the Pete Carroll defensive back scheme really well. We heard from him earlier in the show, and his brother that plays for the Dallas Cowboys, Wanye Thomas, is a safety for the Cowboys. So we definitely appreciate you. Thanks for that text. Really good insight. We appreciate you. Coming up next, Paloma Villacana from Fox 5 Sports. She's in Logan, Utah. Will tell us all things Rebels next on Raider Nation Radio 920.
This podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness on LVSportsNetwork.com is brought to you by Porta Subs. Make sure you check out Porta Subs' 6-foot party trays. They're perfect for game days. You'll get your choice of 3 made-to-order classic subs made with premium meats and cheese on your choice of fresh baked bread, loaded with fresh veggies, toppings, and sauces. Game day 6-foot trays serve 12 to 16 people, so you can sit back and enjoy the game. Available at all Las Vegas area Porta Subs, neighborhood sandwich shops, order ahead at PortaSubs.com.
They understand, you know, that we got to play well to win. I mean, everybody's got to play well to win in this conference, and you know, but that's the emotion you have when you invest so much into it. So they care. They want to fight. They want to compete. They want to win. So I expect to have a good prep week for Utah State.
It's Paloma Villacana from Fox 5 on Unnecessary Roughness.
Kevin Kruger, UNLV Running Rebel head coach, talking about the emotions ahead of the Utah State game, which is going on this evening. UNLV, of course, they want to have emotions. They want to get fired up. They want to get excited. They want to get back in the win column as they're currently riding a 2-game losing streak, but both games they lost by 2 points. So they're right there in the thick of things. And Paloma Villacana joins us now on the phone lines as she does each and every Wednesday. And Paloma, thanks so much for your time. You got to talk to Kevin Kruger. That soundbite came from your interview with him. How did he kind of express that he was going to get these guys ready to go to try to snap that 2-game winning streak on the road in a hostile environment in Utah?
Yeah, I mean, I think Kevin Kruger said that, you know, his guys are fighting so hard right now and that, you know, every practice is so intense. And, you know, they dropped 2 against Wyoming and New Mexico, both nail biters. They want to come out here in Utah State and put up another 40-minute fight. The talent in this league is so good. I love to, you know, go over every game on the Red Zone and really show people Boise State, Utah State, San Diego State, UNLV, New Mexico. I mean, there's just so many players in this league. And it's a physical league, very, very physical league. So no doubt another 40-minute fight. Last year, UNLV dropped the close one here in Logan by 1 point. So they got to be sound on defense every single possession. They can't miss open layups. They can't, you know, have empty possessions, as Kevin Kruger likes to say. So, yeah, the Running Rebels, they got to be on their P's and Q's tonight against Utah State in one of the most hostile environments in college basketball, Logan, Utah, one of my favorite places to go to. And we're actually getting ready to board the buses soon and head over to the game. So it's always so fun traveling with a team in the Mountain West, getting to see how beautiful the Mountain West is. So we're in Logan, Utah right now, getting ready for a 7 p.m. tip-off.
And for DJ Thomas, he had a slow start to the game. He struggled against New Mexico, but rallied late and really kept the Running Rebels in the game. How important is it going to be for him to get off to a really good start tonight?
Yeah, DJ Thomas, he's done everything this season. I think he's done everything that you could ask of him. Playing full court defense, you know, playing point guard. He's just been so physical, so aggressive than his freshman year. And really, you know, this is a reclassified player. So he should be a freshman, but he's out here as a sophomore. And, you know, you can say he's undersized or whatever, but this kid has a huge heart. He plays so hard. He plays so tough. His spin moves, his fadeaways, they're just so beautiful. I mean, he's got 2-3 guys on top of him, and somehow he's able to make a play. So DJ Thomas, really one of the best players in the Mountain West in the country. So he's a Las Vegas native. He's right here in our backyard, and he has been the anchor of this team. But really more than just a point guard, more than just a point guard. He's been really carrying this team, and he's been, you know, the leader of this team. And it's going to take all five guys to step up and really come through 40 minutes tonight against the Aggies.
I'm glad you mentioned all five guys. As I'm watching the game, especially the one on Saturday, it felt like when multiple guys don't touch the ball is when their offense gets stagnant. Is that what you're seeing? Mm-hmm. And is that something that Coach Kruger has talked about, making sure more guys touch the ball in possessions?
Yeah, their ball movement. You know, I think it's just like their chemistry, their flow, their rhythm. Making sure that everyone has good ball movement. You know, it just can't be DJ dishing it out. You know, you got to have all five guys being able to pass, shoot, dribble, and score. So yeah, I mean, when you think of Utah State, you know, they have an entire roster. You know, not just the starting five, an entire roster that can come out and play so aggressive and do everything. So definitely ball movement, getting that offensive flow early. Like I said, being vocal, their communication is going to be key tonight in this hostile environment. And Utah State is really good, but UNLV needs to be the bigger aggressor, I should say. You know, they got to attack, and be as physical as they can than any game they've been in this season.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Again, Paloma Villacana from Fox 5 Sports is with us here on Raider Nation Radio 920. Unnecessary Roughness, know you're about to get on the bus. Only got a couple more quick questions for you. The last time UNLV played Utah State, they won, but that was at the Thomas and Mack. So do they need to come out and throw the first punch since they are on the road and, as you mentioned, that hostile environment that is Logan, Utah?
Yeah, and that's what Jalen Hill, senior running Rebel forward, Las Vegas native, said. You know, we got to punch first. And you know, that's a part of being on the road too, bringing that edge. You know, other teams are comfortable. Other teams have, you know, crazy crowds and they feel comfortable at home. So you got to make them uncomfortable. And you got to punch first. And I think it's just the speed of the game too. You know, the Running Rebels got to be fast. They got to be fast in transition. They got to limit Utah State turnovers. So that game last week at the Thomas and Mack, UNLV was so aggressive. So they just got to come out and be the more physical team, tonight against the Aggies, who are, I believe, 8-1 at home, 10-1 in conference play. So it's going to be a battle.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is. They're a really good team, number two team in the conference, and obviously they're playing at home, so it's going to be a tough one. Well, Paloma, fantastic stuff. What do you got cooking on the Reb Zone that we should be on the lookout for once you get back to town?
Yeah, I mean, it's full go basketball season. The Lady Rebels are hosting UNR on Saturday. I believe their tickets are $3, and Lindy LaRock once again really dominant in the Mountain West. I know they dropped one to San Diego State. On the road this week, so go out and support the Lady Rebels on Saturday. The Running Rebels, their next game is against UNR on the road. So it's rivalry week, and it's going to be a lot of great Mountain West action. And then, you know, the Super Bowl is around the corner. So yep. We're gearing up for the Super Bowl. We got a lot of local stories that we're doing. We're going to catch up with Dan Mullen next week and
nice.
All of his signees on signing day. And, yeah, there's a lot of exciting stuff going on in Vegas. Big week with Pete Carroll and all the news coming to town. So never a dull day.
No, no, never a dull day. And it sounds like, Paloma, you got your suitcase packed. Sound like you're going to be on the road for a minute with the Running Rebels as well. So keep up the great work. Enjoy the game tonight. We look forward to it. Thanks so much for your time. Go get on that bus. We appreciate you.
Thanks, Q. Appreciate you.
I appreciate you. There she goes. Paloma Villacana. Had to cut that one short a little bit just because she's getting ready to get on that bus and head on over to the arena as the Running Rebels are going to take on Utah State again. Utah State, the number two team in the Mountain West. The Rebels beat them earlier this season at the Thomas and Mack, but this is a different animal. This is a different animal when you're on the road, and that is a hostile environment known as Logan, Utah. So we look forward to that. You want to hear that game? You can actually hear it on our sister station this evening. Ari, are you going to be on the Wheels of Steel?
I am, and a little programming note courtesy of play-by-play Matt Neverett. It's a little bit of a slide, so we'll be closer to 6:40 for the pregame and a 7:00 7:10, 7:15-ish
okay.
is going to be the tip. So
there, hey, look, see, that's what we do, man. We keep you up to date, up to the minute. That's what I'm talking about. So 6:45 pregame, about 7:10, 7:15 for tip-off. And you can hear that on our sister station, ESPN Las Vegas. We got everything covered, man. We are like a G-L-O-V-E, a glove. Not a love glove, but a glove. That's how we roll. But many thanks to Paloma for her time this afternoon. As I mentioned, she's on her way over to the arena to get ready for the game. So we look forward to that as well. We've got more sound from the Senior Bowl coming up. Plus, we'll get to your calls and texts. We've got about, 20 minutes left in the show, so we'll definitely close things out strong. You know how we get down at 702-365-9200. If you're just now tuning in for some reason, that's okay. We appreciate that. Sounds like Patrick Graham will be the Raiders defensive coordinator. He is returning. Josina Anderson about 40 minutes ago, tweeted out that I'm told the Raiders and Patrick Graham are working on a deal to bring him back as their defensive coordinator. That was right around 4 o'clock, so like I said, about 40 minutes ago. That is some really good news, so you can let me know your thoughts on that, as many people have chimed in on Twitter as I tweeted that out as well. I think it's really good news. Continuity. Pete Carroll, obviously, is the new man as the head coach. John Spytek, the GM. They're bringing back Tom McMahon. We found that out earlier today. Special teams coordinator is coming back. And it sounds like Patrick Graham is going to be back as a DC as well. So you can let us know your thoughts on that. And, of course, the question that we threw out there to you, if you got to give a grade on the Spytek and Carroll hire, what would that be? And outside of the quarterback, what positions do you feel like the Raiders need to prioritize this offseason? 702-365-9200. We'll hear from you, and we'll hear from Ja Joyner, who's got a fantastic name from the University of Minnesota. He's their edge rusher. All that as we close out the show. We'll do that next here on Raider Nation Radio 920.
I think you said it. I mean, he's proven. He's been there. He's taken a team to a Super Bowl, won one of them. So he knows how to build a culture and build a winning environment. I think that's important. The number one thing when you're talking about the Raiders, because they have been in disarray a little bit over the last decade. Even though he's going to be 74 years old, Pete has always been open-minded and willing to take in new information as a head coach.
Now back to Unnecessary Roughness with your boy Q on Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM.
That was our guy, Eric D. Williams. We talked with him last week. Matter of fact, on Friday, when we found out that it was going to be official, like a referee's whistle, that Pete Carroll was going to be the head football coach, got him on the horn, and he's covered Pete Carroll with Seattle for a very long time. So gave us some really good insight to what to expect from Pete Carroll, and was not worried about his age, as I'm not worried about his age either. I know a lot of people are hung up on that, but that to me does not matter at all. This dude has got more energy than most people I know. So don't have any doubt that he's up for the challenge and ready to handle his business as he's trying to put his staff together. We got word from Josina Anderson about almost an hour ago at this stage of the game that Patrick Graham, defensive coordinator, is coming back. Found out earlier today that special teams coordinator Tom McMahon is coming back. He's interviewed Daryl Bevel, who he had a long history with there in Seattle. That wasn't the guy that pushed the needle for me, but okay, we'll see how it all plays out. Obviously, there's going to be other interviews that he handles as well and has before he comes together with his whole staff, so we'll see how it all plays out. But Patrick Graham returning to me is a plus for the silver and black. But what says you? 702-365-9200. Want to finish out the show strong as we always do. Let's go out to Monterey. To Monterey, Cali. Steven, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, what's up? You always good to hear from you. I was going to say, in regards to the question you threw out there, I would say like a solid B, maybe B plus for Spytek and Carroll, only because we don't really know how Spytek's going to do. I understand his background, and the way he spoke was very eloquent. And so I do have like positivity towards his hire, and Carroll as well, but also the same thing, like due to his like age and availability, you know, like it wasn't like people were, you know, not banging down the doors to try to get to him either. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I still think it's a solid hire, and it's what the Raiders need at this moment. As far as what they need, like position-wise, I mean, I think running back, if we're to believe what Spytek and Carroll say about building around the quarterback and taking that load off, like you saw what happened last year without the run game. So I definitely feel like maybe the dude out of Boise State, that might be a little bit too rich for people at six, but like mm-hmm. you saw what the Eagles are doing with Barkley, and I mean, I don't want to, you know, rub salt in the wound, but Jacobs with the Packers, I mean, yeah. I don't think they make it to the playoffs without him. But, yeah, it's just that. And as far as the McMahon and Graham part, I agree with, you know, keeping the stability there. And, you know, Carroll must have seen something he liked from them. I don't think those were the main issues anyways because of injuries and other things. But maybe with a little bit of Carroll's fingerprints, Graham can also take that defense to the next level And just a little quick question for you, Q. What do you think are the odds that he's the one that takes over once Pete Carroll retires? Thanks for being new, Q. Ari, you guys have a good one.
Hey, great call, Steven. Great call, Steven in Monterey. Yeah, that's a possibility for sure, right? I mean, again, we all know that there could be a succession plan in place, or they could be trying to implement a succession plan whenever they decide to move on from Pete Carroll, or if he decides to move on, whatever the case may be. As I said today on Sin City Beat, when I was sitting down with Case Kiefer and Ray Brewer and also Mike Davis, I was saying, look, if the Raiders and Pete Carroll get the 3 years, that's already a win, right? Because the Raiders don't have continuity when it comes to the head coaching position. They don't hold on to a head coach that long. They just haven't done it. They haven't had a history of doing that. They attempted to do that with John Gruden, and we know how that all played out with that 10-year contract. So if they get to year three and we start really talking about that succession plan, it very well could be Patrick Graham. It very well could end up being someone else that he hires. But I think Patrick Graham would be a very good candidate for that job. I'm excited. I'm excited for Coach Graham to have the opportunity to come back to the Raiders when it looked like he was just about a done deal and he was going to go on somewhere else. Jacksonville obviously hired Liam Cohen to be the head coach, and he interviewed for the D.C. job there as well. I didn't think that that made a whole lot of sense. If you're going to be a D.C. somewhere, you might as well be a D.C. where you're already familiar with the Raiders. So it sounds like that's what it's going to be, and I do think that that is a plus for the Raiders, their continuity, the defense, which, again, is going to be the basically the straw that stirs who the Raiders are. They're going to still lean heavily on the defense. Let's hear from Brian. Brian, you're up next. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Q. How you doing?
I'm great, brother. How about you?
Hey, it's good news to hear that Patrick Graham's coming back for a little bit more stability to what we already have here with Pete Carroll and with John Spytek. That's awesome. Really happy about that.
Mm-hmm.
But, hey, I just wanted to say you were asking, you know, what other positions other than the obvious quarterback position. We really need a number one wide receiver.
Okay.
And we also could use help on the lines. You know, an offensive tackle would be nice.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe another pass rusher so we can do some rotation. You know, because when we lost the guy from Miami, what's his name? Our big free agent.
Christian Wilkins.
Like we had any,
yeah, Christian Wilkins. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it didn't seem like we had anybody to really replace him. You know, or actually, it would just be nice to have a little bit more depth, I guess. I guess that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
On that, too. So, and then definitely cornerback. And how many years have we been waiting for a right tackle?
Yeah. Good point.
Seems like, you know, that's a every year it's like, okay, we're not drafting another right tackle again. We're going to just try to stick someone in there. So, but no, I agree with a lot of the callers I've heard today that, you know, you need to have. To have a good quarterback, you got to be able to protect him, you know, and that starts with up front. Not to say that there weren't times where the offensive line played better. I mean, I actually think they improved over the year, but we got to be able to run the ball.
Yeah.
And keep the quarterback standing, so.
Good stuff, Brian. Good stuff. I agree with you 100%. We're going to have to get Donald Penn on. We're going to have to try to get Donald Penn, DP, on the show sometime this week to talk about that dominant offensive line that he was a part of back in, remember, 2016 when they had those dudes. And when I say dudes, I'm talking about him, DP, Donald Penn at the left tackle spot, Kelechi Osemele. Remember him, the left guard? Big dude. Rodney Hudson obviously was a monster at the center spot. Gabe Jackson, he was a former third-round pick at the right guard spot, and Austin Howard at that right tackle spot. And you're right, that if they can go get a stud right tackle and have great bookends, that would be fantastic because, again, everything you just said from protection to the run game will get help solidified with that offensive line. But something that Vinny was doing today at the Senior Bowl, he was talking to many different players, and you mentioned you know, defensive tackle, having more depth there. He talked to multiple defensive tackles. He talked to a cornerback. He also talked to an edge rusher, Ja Joyner, out of the University of Minnesota. He's a guy that's out there making a little bit of name for himself and a little bit of noise, and Vinny caught up for him with a quick minute earlier today in Mobile.
Not a bad first day for you. What were your goals coming into this setting?
Goals is to show everybody I can play first, second, and third down, knowing that I'm a complete player, not just a one-dimensional player. And, yeah, just going out here competing and getting better.
In terms of the first, second, third down player, mm-hmm. what – obviously you could rush the passer. Was it more about showing that you could play the run or vice versa?
Showing I can play the run, showing I can be physical at the point, showing I can't be moved at the point. I know I got better throughout my years at Minnesota, so yeah.
Anybody that you look up to in the NFL that you maybe pattern your game after?
I look at Arden Key, Armstrong as well, and I love TJ Watt.
You're playing obviously against the best players in the country right now.
Yep.
What was the embracement of that, knowing that that's who you were going to be going up against?
Yeah, showing that I can compete with the highest level. I know my skill set, I know myself, and just showing I can I belong at the end of the day. And right
now. University of Minnesota, you showing some love for the Gophers and representing down here?
Yes, sir. Sky Umar, row the boat, and let's go.
All right, thank you very much.
Appreciate
Take care.
You.
Good luck.
Good stuff. John Joyner right there, along with Vinny Bonsignor from the University of Minnesota defensive end. And he's out there representing, trying to, you know, make a name for himself and prove that, as you heard him say to Vinny, he could be a three-down guy, being able to get after it, not only just the quarterback, but able to stop the run as well. Real quick from Sir Whiskey Ray, happy Wednesday, gentlemen. I give both hirings a B+. He said, both head coach and GM brings championship pedigree. Looking forward to a productive offseason. The position I think the Raiders should focus in on, defensive front seven. I was an elite blue chip cornerback. I want an elite blue chip cornerback, defensive tackle, or linebacker in the upcoming draft. We can never have enough dogs on defense. I'll say it again. I want an elite defense. Let's spend our money wisely in March when free agency begins. Continue on in the draft. All I want to say is the upcoming draft is 3 months away, and I can't wait that long. LOL. Thanks as always, gentlemen. I appreciate it. Sir Whiskey Ray, P.S. A not-so-special shout-out to San Jose State Spartans for blowing a 21-point lead to San Diego State last night. I'm still hurting. That's from our guy, Sir Whiskey Ray, the proud San Jose State alum. We'll close out with that. Great stuff. Electric Circus. Start to finish on today's show, so we appreciate you, Raider Nation. We'll be back tomorrow here on this fine program we call Unnecessary Roughness on Raider Nation Radio 920.
And thank you so much for listening to the podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness here on LVSportsNetwork.com, brought to you by Porta Subs.